The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Previously on the Mark and Mike segment.
I'd go to Vegas. I'd go to Toronto. I'd go to wherever. But who knows what kind of bizarre variant might be rearing its head in the Beijing suburbs.
Mark, would you knock it off?
And they're not telling
us.
Oh,
Mark, you got to stop this.
Well, stop what? Distrust of the Chinese?
Being so afraid of a virus. We're not going to
So,
I've never heard that before. I like the highlights.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Previously, on the Mark and Mike segment. The reason I bring it up
is... I feel a setup coming.
I had a caller gave me a buzz, 9:35 yesterday, and I said, where were you 2 hours ago? Because he made a superb point after having endured that affectionate attack from you. Yes. He said, Mark, as I was listening to that, I thought, here's Mike... giving you holy you-know-what for wondering if it's the best time in the world to go to China where the virus originated and where the regime is secretive. And he said to me, isn't Mike the guy who made a guy take 4 COVID tests before even walking into a Broadway show with it?
And isn't Mike the guy who tests hourly?
Correct.
You know,
so
where was he
24 hours ago? Where was this guy when I needed him anyway? Happy Tuesday to you.
You got your fans out
there.
Yeah,
I got no text line, but I got
1-800-655-MIKE. Please text me. Is Mark right afraid to get on an airplane?
I'm not afraid.
And let's face it, you don't want to get on an airplane.
I'm good. I mean, listen, I did Nashville to go to Kentucky for my uncle's funeral in September. If there was something I wanted to do, I'd get on a plane today.
Try going Vegas to New York to Tampa with the damn mask on.
To Miami, to Seattle, to Las Vegas, to Tacoma, to Rome, to Utah, to get to Birmingham, Alabama.
All right, so let's roll up our sleeves. I love what you said about – I loved the caveat that you expressed about Biden calling Peter Ducey an SOB. I love what you said because let me break it to everybody. We Trump supporters and Donald Trump himself are the last people to get upset about a president with sharp elbows. You're right. You're so right about that. And it cracks me up when I saw people on social media. How dare this is awful. This is terrible. So full stop. We got no room to talk. You know,
I mean, we got a little room because, for those that didn't hear me, let me finish.
I got some points fleshed out here. But I just don't think we do. I think we look silly getting all bent out of shape about a cranky old man.
I am going to take 15 seconds because I did ask. I said, in order to have apples and apples, I am going to say that was a terrible moment for President Healing and old kindly Uncle Joe. And I know that Trump comes into the equation as a sharp-elbowed, brash New York bull in the china shop. But did he ever profanely go after a reporter who had just asked a thoroughly valid question? I'm waiting for that example because I don't think it exists.
I think that's silly. I think that's absolutely silly. You're trying to go apples and apples. First of all, you can't compare Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
No, I know.
You would have never said that to Donald Trump, Mark.
Okay.
I don't want to bog down,
but you made a very, very good point to me about consistency. So what might that look like? Let's make it anybody from the White House press corps, they all hate him, who would ask the president what would be a thoroughly valid do you think your border policies might hurt you in non-border states, or do you think that your imprecision in talking about a Muslim ban might have undercut the degree to which you want to improve vetting at JFK? Something like a valid question. And the president says, whatever, and then calls the person a stupid SOB. I, I'd feel exactly the same. I'd say that. That's
you
totally out of
it.
I absolutely
would. Said that to Donald Trump. No, sorry, not buying it.
Well,
nice try.
I guess, listen,
Trump, first of all, Trump said 1,000 things times worse to other people. Get out of the press room for a minute. I'm just talking about his president. President Trump, like you said, you had a perfect descriptor of him.
Right.
He's a sharp-elbowed New Yorker, and he doesn't care. He rolls his sleeves up. He's called people all kinds of names. Who cares? That's who he is. You know, you can't – if you're – Mr. Consistency shouldn't get your panties in a wad because Biden, called a reporter an SOB. Come on.
I don't want to overblow it, but I don't want to – is underblow a word? It's not nothing. This is a
literally called Chuck Todd an SOB, and I promise you, Mark Davis didn't say that's a terrible thing to say.
And when did that happen, and under what circumstance? Because it matters.
Because it matters. Why does it matter? What matters? Where it was?
That's the consistency that I talk about.
Mark,
Chuck Todd
is NBC.
Savaged this White House every day with lies. Lies.
Mark, if the president and shouldn't talk that way, the president shouldn't talk that way, right, Mark?
Correct. My favorite thing.
Then why do you call Trump out?
Because not all profane retorts are crafted alike.
You're picking and choosing.
I'm applying a standard.
Failing your consistency test.
And listen.
And the trouble is,
okay,
I'm with you.
I mean, I know.
You're failing the consistency.
I'm establishing that if I'm looking for somebody to find me an example where Trump profanely went after somebody who didn't deserve it.
You should not take this seriously, Mark. You should react just the way. Let me tell you something.
The way Peter Doocy reacted is the best.
You ought to follow Peter Doocy's lead. You ought to follow Jesse Waters' lead. We all laughed it off. And there was a classic exchange between Jesse Waters and Peter Doocy where Jesse said, well, he's right, you know. And Peter Doocy said, yeah, I don't think it was fact-checked in the White House.
It has yet to be disproven. Absolutely.
Now, here's where we have absolute common ground and total agreement. The left's reaction to this in terms of when Trump would say anything, they would get out their vapors. They would get out there.
It was an attack on a free press.
How dare a president? And they found a million examples, starting with Brian Stelter, of calling out Trump and not calling out Biden for calling Doocy an SOB. But that's comedy. That's laughable. They are hypocrites, and it is so absolutely blatantly obvious how duplicitous they are and how sad they are. And it's just laugh this stuff up. By the way, final point on the Biden thing, and I want to ask you about Ukraine. I'm dying to talk to you about Russia and Ukraine and the U.S.'s role in this. But final point. Listen, I know Biden barely knows where he is. I get that he doesn't know what year it is and everything. The man has spent his life in front of a microphone. That was not a hot mic moment. They didn't have an on-off switch. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew precisely. He didn't think the mic was off. He was standing there in front of a giant microphone. This is, I believe, absolutely intended to silence the critics who say that he's not tough enough.
He doesn't fight back. He doesn't stand up. That's a solid point.
And then him calling Doocy and not apologizing, just saying, don't take it personally, pal.
Excuse me for making it too big a deal. And I know Trump never apologized. I know. That was not an apology. He says, nothing personal. Of course it's personal. It's extremely personal.
Absolutely. And incidentally, speaking of the text line, a lot of people agreeing with you, a lot of people agreeing with me. But let's face it, you're right in terms of Trump had to deal with jackals
every day.
And every hour of every day. And Biden does not have to deal with that. Now they're turning. Speaking of NBC, man, oh, man, they are after him about his poll numbers. Speaking of sleepy Chuck Todd looking in front of the camera saying, Americans don't think he's competent. Can you imagine saying that about a Democrat a year into the presidency? The guy's in trouble. He's underwater. And now maybe he's going to try to distract us with involving troops in Ukraine. I am 100% with you about not one blood, not one drop of blood. But explain something to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the argument for fighting Russia over Ukraine.
Well, it's the same argument that it's been as long as you and I have been alive. That if somebody wants to make it, and I had some people do it yesterday, it is that we can't just let this go, that we can't have an unstable Eastern Europe. An unrestrained Putin, an unrestrained authoritarian Putin, does not bode well for a stable Europe. And we have allies all over the place that are probably more than a little nervous about this. And again, this is not an argument that guides me or guides you. I'm the not one drop of blood. Let's send them a lot of tanks and trucks and stuff and guns and let them fight their own wars. But if somebody wants to make the point that we have invoked ourselves and involved ourselves before in unstable regions that involve some of our allies, they would not be wrong.
They would not be wrong. And I've got the Tucker. You know, here's the test. Here's the litmus test. What's the America First streak? What's the America First DNA? And I'm America First. That's why I voted for Donald Trump. Big reason why I voted for Trump. This isn't putting America first. This is getting our troops engaged in a combat that we have no business being involved in. And you know what? Putin is an authoritarian. Nothing we do is going to change that.
That's correct.
You know, and so Biden wants to look tough. What, we're going to go to war with Russia? And then you got the China implications to this. You've got the Russia-China involvement and what this means as far as China's role and Russia's role. No, I'm sorry. I'm totally go back to your roots about supporting the America First agenda. Mm-hmm. What do we gain? This is the neocon Lindsey Graham, John McCain. We got to get involved in wars all over the world. And frankly, Mark, that's what Trumpism rejects.
This may be a non sequitur question because maybe it wouldn't happen. But if Putin were poised on the border of Ukraine and Trump were president, would he be?
Trump wouldn't go near this. I think he might provide Ukraine with, as you said, military equipment, might provide him with some advice. No way would one troop be dedicated to fighting Russia off of. Listen, I got an idea. How about we worry about our own border before we're worried about Russia and Ukraine's border?
Yep.
I mean, my gosh, that's America first. No, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm looking forward to President Trump, giving an opinion or a statement on all of this.
I am too.
I don't think he'd go near.
I think you're probably right. And so here's something we'd better perhaps brace for. I don't know what other NATO nations will do, but it may well be, and this is a tough paragraph, that Putin does this. That he goes ahead and launches into Ukraine, and we just kind of say, well, we tried, and not really our problem.
Not our problem. Yep. Wash our hands of it. I'm really, really torn on this, and I'm looking for solid reasons. What I'm having a hard time finding, because I always defer to smart people like you and people I read, and Molly Hemingway, by the way, congratulations. She was named editor-in-chief over at The Federalist, a well-deserved
promotion. Awesome. She's great.
I love that. I'm looking for solid reasons to support sending our young men and women into battle. Think of what this means.
Mm-hmm.
Going to war with Russia. Sorry, I'm out. And again, that could be another thing to drive. And I suspect that's why the country, you mentioned it earlier about polling and the mood of the country, we don't have a stomach for this. We don't have an appetite for this.
We are not a warlike people. We are still war weary from 20 years of a so-called war on terror. And I don't say that disparagingly. And do you know the significance of this moment,
Mike? We're America first.
Exactly. Remember the significance of this moment is that you've spent your whole life and I've spent all of mine under an umbrella that says if there's a significant world trouble spot where tyranny seems to be on the march, there's a pretty good chance, if it involves countries that are our allies, there's a pretty good chance of an American military deployment. True in Vietnam, true in other locations, true in Bosnia, certainly true in the Middle East. No longer true.
No, how true. And by the way, final note here as we say goodbye for a Tuesday, loved your exchange with the caller about Joe Rogan. You know, you go online now, he is absolutely totally marginalized and branded a kook, a screwball. He's just like Tucker Carlson. The left is calling him out big time. And as you've said, All he has done is presented a bunch of different points of
view. Joe Rogan's not a conservative? What?
He's not.
I mean, he's one of those sort of ideologically, he's sort of what Bill Maher is turning into, which is entertaining and compelling. I think Rogan is great. I disagree with him on a lot of things. I agree with him on a lot of things. I enjoy the podcast. Too. And for those that don't know, the caller that Mike refers to is Neil Young, who I've always loved for, musically but not politically, has said, you know, you kick Joe Rogan off Spotify or I'm pulling my music off Spotify, to which I think Spotify will tell him where to take
it. Neil Young's a Canadian, right?
Correct.
You know, when we have tomorrow, maybe we have time. I'll take you on a trip down memory lane when Mike Gallagher was quoted in Rolling Stone criticizing Neil Young.
Yep.
I'll tell you that tomorrow. So
that's a package. Tease. I love it. All righty, man.
Happy Tuesday.
Mike Show Its Own Self is at 10. And another reason to be part of this golden segment tomorrow at 7:35 or now 7:53. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.